I don't know how fear could be vanquished, because I haven't vanquished it myself. I have an idea that perhaps to be applicable, I like to go into the field and test it, but that's another story. That's very different.
Did he vanquish fear?
Yes, he has. It looks like it's very simple to do it, but it's once you have the mechanics, I suppose, he is parting at all times from a different point of view. Whatever is between the phenomena that I am experiencing and me, there's always an intermediate. It's a set of expectations, motivations, language. Name it. It's there. It's the whole set. And that's my heritage as a European, to use the set which is common to all of us. That's why we understand each other. But the world has a different set, an entirely different. That's the incapacity to understand them. Very difficult to understand what he's talking about. Like when he says that one could conquer fear. There's an interesting idea that occurred to me now, in that which I would like to test in the field. I have attended recently a peyote meeting. It was a gathering in which I just took water to them. I didn't participate. I just went there to watch, to observe. Because I have arrived to the conclusion that the consensus, the agreement that he gave me, as I narrated in this book, the private agreement, special, between the teacher and the student. But something else takes place, and it's a collective agreement. A whole bunch of people agree upon things which cannot be seen, ordinarily. But I always thought that this agreement consisted in cueing the others. Therefore, there must be a leader, I thought, that could cue, you know, by twist of the eye, and something like that, you know, flip of the fingers. And therefore, they all say that they have agreement, because one gives the cue. They believe, like, for instance, in the matter of peyote, anybody who takes peyote hears a buzzing in the ears. However, the Indians believe that there are 17 types of buzzing, and each one then corresponds to a precise nature of the visitation. The deity, Mezcalito, comes in a specific way and it announces it by buzzing. So there must be an agreement among the 8-10 people as to what buzzing is it in the first place, and then the nature of it. How is the lesson going to be? Is it going to be a ferocious lesson, very dramatic, or is it going to be very mild, amenable? Well, depends on what is the I suppose the mood of the deity. But I thought that this agreement was accomplished by means of a code. So I went, I asked them one to, I could drive them, I took my car and drove a whole bunch of people, and I made myself available in that form. And then I could serve, I said, you know, bringing water to them. So I watched, and I couldn't detect any code at all. However, in my effort to watch, I got involved, very deeply involved, and at a moment, I flipped. And I walked into this experience as though, in quotes, I had taken peyote, which I didn't. This is my stand, okay? I think what they do is they hold judgment. They drop the set, and they're capable of getting the phenomena in a different level. They're capable of viewing it in a level that is different from what I do ordinarily, the way I do it ordinarily. So if I drop this step, this whatever it is that is interfering, intermediate, the intermediate step between the phenomena and me, I'll arrive to this area of a special agreement. Therefore, it's very simple for them to arrive to that. I thought that in spirit called mitote, a whole series of days, 5-6 days, in which they intake peyote, I thought the last day was the only day in which they agreed. But maybe they agree every day. I don't know. I have to go and find out, you see? I don't know. I know that it's possible to hold judgment.
Now, the girl asked you a question about fear, vanquishing fear entirely.
Yeah.
I think that's, as I read it, a misunderstanding. I mean, as far as fear is no longer your enemy, doesn't mean you don't have it anymore. Right? Because he said the man always goes to knowledge, and this would be anywhere along the line, even after you vanquish fear.
Yeah.
With fear, respect, light awake, and the fourth thing. So you always have the fear, but it's no longer your enemy.
Perhaps we are afraid only because we are judging. That's another possibility. That once we drop the prejudgment, well, what's there to fear? At the moment, like he used to cure years ago, that's before I met him. Today he's not interested anymore in curing or bewitching, he says. He says that he's beyond company or solitude. So he just exists. He lives in central Mexico.
What does he do with his thumb?
Then he flies. I really don't know. I always feel, I project in him, and I say, poor little old man, what's he do with his time? But that's me. Poor little old man, what do I do with my time? But that's a different step. You see, he has a different system, completely.
Someplace in the book you mentioned that you smoked mushrooms down in the state of Chihuahua. I just wondered what was the name of those mushrooms in the book?
The mushrooms belong to the psilocybe family, I'm sure of that. And they grow in central Mexico. Then you make a journey to central Mexico. You collect them, and then you take them to wherever you live. And wait for a year before they are usable. And they spend a year inside of a gourd. Yeah. And after that, they are utilized.
Were they from Oaxaca?
They're central Mexico, that area, yeah, Oaxaca. There are 14 species of psilocybe.
Can you tell us about the need and nature for secrecy and mystical teachings such as that one?
Well, I don't know. He feels like in order to return from one of the trips, quote, you had to have a great degree of help and knowledge without which you don't return. Maybe he's right. Maybe you need not so much the encouragement or a friendly man telling you everything is the right job, don't fear. But more than that, maybe you need another type of knowledge that will render the experience utilize meaningful and not crack your mind, you see, not really bust you.
But you discourage someone from using these drugs in
the I do. I don't think they should, because perhaps we get to know more about it. Otherwise, we become a spearhead, and a spearhead burn, period.
You know what this psychoactive substances are in Batura?
The atropine and, I don't know, the thiamine and there are other two more. There was something that somebody called metalloidine, but nobody knew what metalloidine was. They're very toxic, terribly toxic. They are very harmful plants.
Was there a
strychnine? No, the peyote contains strychnine, 8 types of them.
Were there other agents that Don Juan considered to be his equal as the medicine man?
I know two.
Were they his equal
from
impartial view through your eyes?
The one likes, he says that his predilection is talking. He likes to talk. There are other men who have another type of predilection. There's a man who gives lessons in waterfall. His predilection, he says, is balance. And movement. The other one that I know dances. And he accomplishes the same thing.
What about mushrooms in the old group?
No, there's no hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Yeah,
that's not an old world, though.
Sure.
Well, Dator is growing all over Berkeley. It's a...
Well, it's a kind of growth anywhere, anywhere in the United States. But the intake of Datura produces a very terrible inflammation of the prostate gland. So it's not desirable to use it. So it's a very toxic.
Did that happen to you?
No, after it's prepared, you know, I didn't lose toxin. The American Indians, I think, learned a great deal in manipulating plants. And how they learn, perhaps like the one says, you could arrive to a direct knowledge of complex procedures directly via tapping this whatever you tap.
Can you talk a little
more about that
person's
experience, about finding
the
good and
bad spots, and what your interpretation of it,
meaning
in terms of good
and
bad, or good
and
evil, or just, or...
No, I don't know. I've never interpreted in any way except, again, as I stated, a special, ordinary reality. He, again, I say, manipulated me. And, or... perhaps it's possible to see color. I have a friend who reported all day to me that he saw magenta. He said that was the only thing that he saw. He tried to do this and at night, and he was capable of arriving to this distortion of color, whatever.
One thing I noticed while reading the book is that all of the students take this at night.
No, I think night's very friendly. The night is very friendly, very amenable. It's warmer, for some reason. And the darkness is covering. It's very, it's like a blanket. Very, very nice. On the other hand, the daytime is very active. It's too busy. And it's not conducive to the feeling needed for anything like that. I like the night. I don't know why. Maybe I'm an owl or something. I like it very much. It's very amenable to me. I turn the lights in my house off all the time. I feel very fine for some reason. I feel very comfortable when it's dark. And I feel very restless when there's too much light.
Can you tell us more about Mescalito?
Like what? What? How?
Well, I don't know. Well, I was just curious. First of all, American Indians have a god that is not called Mescalito. It's called something else.
They have different names, yes. Where did
this
Mescalito is circumlocution that he uses, like to say Little Joe, Little Billy, circumlocutions to mean William.
Well, is he one God, or is he like a thousand million forms?
That's power. It's a teacher. It's not God. It's a teacher. It's a teacher that is outside of yourself. That you never mention it by name, because the name that he gives it to you is personal, and therefore you use the circumlocution, Mescalito. Not the word peyoro, because peyoro means something else. It's not applicable to that. It's a word that is being borrowed by the Spaniards. Peyoro is a state, very much like Datura in Mexican, in the Spanish, used in Mexico. Datura is called Toloache. In Toloache, the people say Toloache, but that's not accurate. Toloache is a state of knowledge. Later to this, Datura. But it's not the plant, it's the state of knowledge. And so it's another word, Ololuoqui, that the Sagun, that Spanish priest was very concerned with. And people have identified Ololuoqui as the seat of the morning glory. But that's not, it belongs to the Datura also. But it's again, it's another, it's a state. State of knowledge.
Does Don Juan or any of the other glucos have any difficulties with the church because of this?
Well, I suppose they do. They couldn't care less one way or the other. They are capable of short-circuiting the works of the dominant society, which is very, very, very appealing to me at least, to be able to short-circuit them and render them meaningless and useless. And harmless. See, the one is not trying to fight anybody, therefore nobody fights with him. He's very capable. He's a hunter. He's a hunter. He's a capable man. He does everything himself. He's,
You mean he hunts animals?
Well, in many ways, metaphorically, in, you know, in a literary way, he hunts in his own way. And he's a warrior, meaning he's alert, on his toes, consistently. He never lets anything go beyond by him. There's a great argument that I have with his grandson. His grandson says, my grandfather is feeble-minded. I said, you know, but perhaps you're wrong. Do you think that you could sneak up on him? And the young guy, Fernando, says, no, my you cannot sneak up on my grandfather. He's a brujo. Absurd, you know? How could you say that he's feeble-minded and then you say that you cannot speak up on him? But that's the idea, you see. He maintains everybody under this sort of control. He never let me out of his sight. I'm always within his view. And it's an automatic process, unconscious. He's not aware of it, but I'm always there. At all times, you know, he's very alert.